Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave. And you know, of course, the first question is going to be, is it cold enough for you? Honey, hopefully, wherever you are listening at this moment, it is warmer than what it is here in Baltimore, Maryland. This is the first morning that we can ever recall that the curtains actually stuck to the window. Seriously? We really are getting some frigid temperatures. Make sure that the elderly in your neighborhood are taken care of. Make sure the animals are. Make sure kids are where they're supposed to be. Everybody get bundled up. Woo! Lord, feels good to be in here and do a very nice and warm show. Are you ready? Either thing is, we're pretty good with Gerald Beasley the other day, and man, was that fun. It was Gerald, it was Jeff Robinson, and now today, in the third hour of the show, it's Najee. If you have not heard The Morning After, and it's a longer title than that, but The Morning After will suffice right now, think of the visual of The Morning After. That's all on this musical love journey of Najee's, right there. Woo! Now, you know how we do, right? We always like to start with a classic. And I thought, actually, that we were going to have another classic to start with today. And I could do that. But you know what I want to do? I really want to start with this. Because you only go around once in life, or so some say. And you might as well bring out the good stuff to begin with. Here's Miles Davis from Kind of Blue and So What on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz.
A one-way love is just a fantasy, but to share is precious.
wasn't that something? I have been looking forward to playing that for you. Let me tell you something. This is one of those tracks. It's brand new. The only way I got it is because I was paying attention to one of the websites that was offering it as a free download. That's Diane Reeves, who's got a new website coming and a brand new CD produced by Terry Lynn Carrington. Diane's take on I Want You from Beautiful Life, that's due in your stores or online on the 2nd, no, actually the 1st of February. A lot is going on that day. Very exciting. Diane is doing takes on a Bob Marley classic, a Fleetwood Mac song. She's got, among others, Gerald Clayton on this, Gregory Porter, Layla Hathaway, and our friend and her cousin, the late George Duke. Mercy. I just can't wait to hear more of that. And she called the project Beautiful Life because she wanted to celebrate that which is often overlooked. That's what she said. I love that. I want you. I think Marvin Gaye would be very proud. And if you remember, Jeff Robinson had a take on that from an album he did a few years ago. So he was anxious to hear Diane's take. We were going to play it on the show last time, but we didn't have enough time, as it often goes. Woo, that is good stuff. Now, we also heard from Foreplay, Esprit de Four. And that was one of those compositions. And it's very nice the way that they did the CD, because each of the guys in Foreplay had a chance to write his own songs. And this one is a contribution by Harvey Mason. Harvey's laying low in January, maybe spending some time back in his hometown of Atlantic City, right down the street from Ocean City, where we used to spend all of our summers. Harvey, along with Bob James, is kind of kicking back, and they should. They had a very busy 2013. Not necessarily the case, laying back, by Chuck Loeb, who is gearing up for Burke's Jazz. He's going to have a Chuck Loeb and Friends session. This is the first weekend of Burke's Jazz, which starts in March and then goes through April. It's always a party and a half. Among the assembly that he has concocted for the Friends part of that event, Everett Harp, Bobby Lyle, Carmen Cuesta, his lovely wife, who sings like a Brazilian bird. She's amazing. And hopefully she'll be on the show soon. Chuck, if you're paying attention, if you're listening, please let's get Carmen on the show as soon as we can. Chuck is doing his thing, and varying sorts of, I don't know how to put it. I think that he's got a few irons in the fire, and I think that maybe he's keeping them close to the vest. We'll get some more information out of him. He was just a tiny bit cagey when he was on Hybrid Jazz the last time. We'll find out more. Meanwhile, Nathan East is having himself a 2013, and it's not ending in 2014. You know, he used to be with Eric Clapton 1984 to 2004, and varying things back and forth, including Foreplay, but now Nathan is touring with Eric Clapton again, along with Steve Gadd and others, and they're going to be having themselves a tour. So keep an ear out for Eric Clapton coming to your town, and be looking for Nathan East, who not only has that to look forward to, but also a solo album. Yes, as leader anyway, he'll have folks playing with him, but this is a much anticipated musical journey for him. Can't wait. We also heard from Miles Davis. Didn't necessarily plan to play that song at the top of the hour, but do I have to tell you about Kind of Blue? I don't think so. Bill Evans, Jimmy Cobb, Paul Chambers, John Coltrane, and Cannonball Adderley, released in the summer of 1959. Mercy. So What is the name of the track. Dennis Hopper swears that the reason that the song was named thusly is because Dennis and Miles used to have intellectual conversations, and Dennis used to always end those discussions with, "So what?" I don't know if that's true, but written by Gil Evans for Bill Evans and Paul Chambers, this was Miles Davis' foray into modality, if you will. And everybody went, "What?" Yeah, one of those groundbreaking and favorite albums of all time by many people. Let's turn our attention and let us tell you that Najee is coming your way in the third hour of the show. So we're a little bit psyched. Laid back, but psyched. Welcome to the chat room, Pete Gitlin. So nice to have him. We'll be hearing a track from Pete in a little bit. Beach is here, having moved into her new home. Yay! Griselda's going back and forth doing her thing. We've got guests who are either in the chat room or who are listening. And by the way, thanks to a close to 102,000 listener mark. Bless your collective hearts. I love this. So good. David Buck, speaking of so good, so right, let us play this tune, Close on the Heels of I Want You by Diane Reeves. This is Sweet Spot from Other World. David Buck on the keyboard on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz.
Can meet you halfway. We can.
Honestly, James Ingram is one of those singers. He can change the flavor of the room just like that. He has such power. Nobody sounds like James Ingram. Oh, my gosh. And you know what? For some of us who listen to him, doesn't it catapult you back in time when you hear? Whew! And of course, that song did, 1983. Whatever we imagine from James's debut, it's Your Night. The first on Quest, by the way, which was run by Quincy Jones, who has had a long partnership with James. Song written by David Foster, essentially. Received 4 Grammy nominations, this project did. Man, some of the personnel on this. Larry Carlton, Jimmy Smith, oh my God. Howard Hewitt, the guys from Toto, Luther Vandross. Amazing, amazing stuff, and just captured the magic that we all came to know about James. He's one of those cats that's laying back, too. You can find out what's going on with him at jamesingramsmusic.com. Usually, it's not the possessive form. It would usually be jamesingram.com, but it's jamesingramsmusic.com. So nice to hear him. Alex Snydman. Yes. Enjoy from Fortunate Action. You remember that in 2013 we had so many new acts or those artists that were getting started. And it was very exciting to have Alex on the show because in his senior year of college he had decided to jump from guitar focus to drums. And he got a lot of feedback. He went out of his way to get mentored or ask for mentorship by these heavyweights in jazz. And this particular album was just so full of warmth and camaraderie and teammanship. Is that a word? But it soared. I'm looking at the hard copy of the CD now, and I love the hard copies. Just beautiful. A Chris Patashaw song. Mm. And he's playing piano on that track. And so many other greats. Alec Darien on bass. And Alex, of course, on drums. But if you want something that is a gentle foray, if you will, into the straighter sound of jazz. And get involved in the musicianship and the utter ecstasy of playing together. Pick up Fortunate Action by Alex Snydman, who has a particular reason why he called this LP. Look, I'm dating myself. This CD or album, folks still call it an album. He had a reason for calling it that way. And when we get him on the show again, as he's tidying up his master's in jazz performance in California and coming back to the East Coast in spring, maybe we'll have him back on the show and he can explain. David Bach, Sweet Spot from Other World. You know I'm going to get some local love in here today. Based in D.C. at Phase 10 on 110 this Friday. David is one of those amazing pianists. I'm telling you, he's got some all-star folks on here. We all know these angelic players around here. David Mark Wells on sax, Mark Prince, Ekendra Das, Edgar Montalvo, all from Other World. The new one by David Bach that's getting really rave reviews. And if you are in the frame of mind or maybe in a little bit of money where you can hire folks out, you might want to go to davidbachmusic.com because this is a very cool website. He's got very shrewdly at the bottom of the page accolades from different people that have hired him in the course of a year or so, including USA Today, that said clearly that this was the best act that they ever hired. David comes in consort form, the David Bach consort, also as a quartet, trio, does solo work on the piano. He's just exceptional. as is Najee, who's coming your way in the third hour of the show. And, man, we're going to dive into some tracks here. If you haven't heard The Morning After, A Musical Love Journey, get ready. Feast for your ears. No joke. So happy to be having Najee. Usually the case is this. When somebody comes on the show, it's either a new musical project or they're going to be playing a gig in town, because our focus is usually going to be Baltimore or D.C. or Virginia or Philly. We're in the Mid-Atlantic. This is where the love goes first. Everybody else gets a little extra, of course, but the priority is here. But in this case, Najee is going to be at the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia in April. But you know he's going to be busy, because The Morning After just came out in October. So, you know, come Thanksgiving, come Christmas, come New Year's, some artists want to completely not work. But then as February starts to take shape, everything has been booked for the next year, it's full tilt boogie. So we better get them all again good. So there you go. That's why he's here today, and I'm so glad. This is our friend, Sam Hankins. Let's do Sam Hankins on the trumpet, shall we? Nothing Between Us on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Man, what a track that is. Pete Gitlin with Jeff Cashua. Another Day in Paradise from Amplify. Pete Gitlin was in the chat room. He made it a point to let us know about some sweet charitable event that's coming up that needs a lot of attention. And I just said to him mere moments ago, why don't you call to tell us? This is my guitar guru, my favorite liberal in Arizona, Pete Gitlin.
Hola, senorita.
Hola. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, my God. Happy New Year, Trish.
How are you? I'm so psyched to talk to you.
Now, I'm glad to be. I'm warm. I feel bad for all my buds in the Midwest and East Coast. You know, I was out playing golf late yesterday afternoon, and I'll have to admit, I had to put a light sweater on because it dropped below 70 as the sun was heading down. So it was very
shut up.
Very difficult on us out here. We need it. No, it's brutal. My daughter lives north of Boston. She sent me pictures of her backyard, and you know, they got the foot and a half of snow, and then it sort of got warmer and melted, and today it's back to, you know, single digits. So it's winter.
You know what? There's winter, and then there's ridiculousness. Because honestly, people are putting out T-shirts, and the T-shirts freeze within minutes, and they're standing up straight. You take a water bottle out, and people are seeing the water freeze right in front of them. The curtains stuck to my windows this morning.
Holy cow!
Yes.
Well,
I
don't know what to say, but I was laughing because now on TV and everything, everybody's saying it's the polar vortex. We used to get a cold snap, you know. All right, cold snaps in the last couple of days. Now it's a polar vortex. It's like, it's the end of the world, everybody. Run. The polar vortex has come. Oh, my God. Help.
Oh, no. It's going to be one of those catchwords, you know, that we'll look at in 2015 and laugh. The polar vortex.
The polar vortex. Here it comes. But anyway, no, we're lucky out here in Arizona. You know, it gets chilly out here. It gets down in the 30s overnight from time to time, and we all panic. And then every now and then we can see snow up on the mountains outside of Phoenix, and everybody goes into a complete, you know, state of disbelief. Here's the funny thing. I want to tell you, because I'm an East Coast person, right? I grew up in New York City and then lived in Boston for much of my adult life. People out here, when it rains, they panic when they're driving. You can see them, like you can see their knuckles get white on the steering wheel because they're like, oh my God, the road is wet. What do I do now? It's like if they ever had to drive back.
Come on.
It's really funny, and we did. We actually, I think it was either last winter or the winter before, there actually was one day where there was a little bit of snow up in Scottsdale, which is, you know, a little bit further north, not much, but it rarely happens. I've been out here 15 years, and that was the only time there's been snow. And it was the number one story on the news, and people were just going nuts. So it's all about where you live. We're lucky. It gets hot here in the summer. You can laugh at me in July when it's beautiful back down the East Coast and it's 114 here.
Yeah, but you know what? Everybody is thinking to themselves right now, oh, God, I want that rather than this.
Come on out. There's plenty of room out here at my house. It's like everybody come out and visit. We'll have a big party here. You know, we'll play Twister and, like, darts and stuff. It'll be great.
Oh, my God, that sounds like an awesome idea. Hey, everybody, let's get a show. Let's take it on the road. You know what? I don't know how we won't get into this, but I'm not sure how you have survived in Arizona, and we're not talking about the weather. You know what I'm talking about. For the past 15 years, but you get a chance to do some really wonderful music things, and that's why I wanted you to talk, because I love this Jazz Up Your Night event that you're going to have.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it's the Smooth Groove Radio is one of the internet radio stations out here. They do a good job. They're good people, and they're doing this Jazz Up Your Night. It's for the it's for the Arizona Oral Cancer Walk Run Committee, and it's going to be a pretty elegant affair. It's actually at a community dental clinic downtown, so it's not in some. It's not in some fancy place. And these guys do a great job of providing dental services to people who cannot afford them, which is really weird out in the state of Arizona, because usually we look at poor people out here and we say, good luck, you know, go work harder or stuff, you know. That's your favorite liberal talking. I should be careful. They might be listening in on me right now, and they'll
honey. You know you always have a forum here to talk that kind of stuff.
I've done a few concerts for Smooth Groove Phoenix, and at one of the last ones that I did, it was just a regular show. Cal Harris showed up, and we got to meet. And Cal's just a super, super good guy, great keyboard player, spends a lot of his time touring around. You know, he plays with quite a few very talented musicians. He tours with Lenny Kravitz and stuff like that. So, but he had a great time at the show, and we were talking, and we said, you know what, we got to get together and play sometime. And we both agreed and then said, well, how are we going to do this? And we both were sort of like, you know, dumb musicians, and said, I don't know, but we'll do it. And then the Smooth Groove people put together this show, and you know, we got Keith McKelly playing. We got Whitney Jones,
awesome.
Who I haven't met, but a terrific singer. The band is going to be smoking. None of us, well, I've never played with any of them, but that's why we're going to rehearse on Thursday a little bit. And then I think it's going to be pretty good. It doesn't mention the tickets are $35, but all the sales go towards the Oral Cancer Foundation. We're just glad to do it. We, as musicians, it's always important, I think, that we give back to the community. And we're blessed to do what we do. I mean, sometimes I gotta laugh. I mean, I get to play music, and people pay me to do it occasionally. It's like, holy mackerel, what kind of program is this? It's a good one, though. And so it's important for us to give back when we have a chance. And so this is going to be a fun night. As I say, it's a wine and cheese event. I think people are going to dress up a little bit for it. There's going to be a silent auction with all sorts of donations. I don't know exactly what's going to be there. I was going to donate, you know, a night with me, but I don't think anybody can afford the tens of thousands of dollars that would.
Don't sell yourself short now, Pete.
What you talking about, girlfriend?
Well, you're only talking about millions. I mean, you're priceless. Hey,
no,
if you're going to spend time with Pete Gitlin,
no,
come on now.
No, I hear. No, but it's going to be a fun event. I think the music is going to be spoken, it's fun to get out here in Arizona. You know my name for Arizona. I can't say it on the radio because you might have kids listening. But it starts with dumb. And I'll go from there. I won't go from there. But it's a great state, Trish. We have a lot of really good people out here. Politically, I'm happy because I think politically, you know, Arizona is moving forward. We're just about moving into the 19th century now. So you know, another few years, and maybe we'll. You know, we might make it like 1960 or 1980 here pretty soon.
Well, you know what? Maybe the governor will be replaced by someone who cares. I say that out loud? Ooh.
You know who just announced that he may be running for governor of Arizona?
Who?
The actor Steven Seagal.
Are you serious?
I wish I could say I was joking.
Oh, my God. Look, that would be like going from the frying pan into the fire. Let's not even go there. Woo!
It's a joke. He comes out here and he serves on posses and stuff and does pretend police stuff with lots of cameras around to make it seem like but you know what? He's got as good a chance as anybody because this is Arizona. And we'll vote for
Pete,
just about anybody out here.
Two names, Ronald Reagan, Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's all I'm going to say.
I know. I got to take a deep breath and relax. I'm getting myself a little,
you know.
It's all about the music. It's all about the music. Hold on here.
That's right. Are you playing?
Yeah. No, that's me. I mean, it probably doesn't come through very often. Yeah, but see that relaxes me. I start thinking politics, and the next thing I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
well,
so.
Okay. And look, let's keep this really positive, because it has to be mentioned that to talk about and to actually do an event so that people can raise their awareness about oral cancer, we don't see this a lot, Pete, and I think that it's wonderful of Smooth Groove Radio to do this. I really applaud them and everybody who's involved in this. This is wonderful.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I'm really happy to be part of it. It's going to be so much fun playing with Cal and Keith and Whitney and the rest. So I'm lucky.
Yeah.
What can I say?
You really are. And, you know, one of these days things will be more evolved in your state.
Yeah.
And we're all going to make sure that we send all those good vibes and wishes and prayers out there to make that happen. In the meantime, you're having a ball, though, aren't you?
I am. I've got I'm playing. You know, I sort of got out of my corporate life a little more than a year ago. So doing full time music these days. I play music. I play my guitar. I play golf. I hang out with my girlfriend. It's not real terrible. I gotta say. And I'm writing a lot. I'm writing a lot. Getting ready for, you know, a new single release. I sent you the preview of it last month. And that's going to come out probably towards the end of December. I've got a great artist, a friend of mine in Memphis, Tennessee, is working on the video, something of a stop-motion video for it. When the video is ready, we're ready to go. Jason Gorov is going to be doing the promotion for it. So
wonderful.
I'm hoping to get some, you know, we'll see. I'm really excited about it. It's really hybrid jazz. If you remember it, it's really not jazz or smooth jazz at all. I'd call it adult contemporary. I've got a great young vocalist, this young lady, Leah Capelli. She's only 18 years old, but she's an old soul, man. She has the most beautiful voice. And she's also, for those who have seen Amplify, she is also the legs on the cover of Amplify.
Really?
Yes. She's the daughter of the photographer who did and the designer who did all of, you know, did the entire design of the CD. And I've actually known Leah since she was probably 13 or 14 years old, and she is an incredible talent. She's been in New York and L.A. I mean, she was in Timbaland's studio last month doing stuff for him. I mean, I think she's got a chance of hitting something big. You never know in this crazy music biz. But she's beautiful. She's a Ford model. She does all sorts of modeling, and she's got that voice. And right, so she's a great talent, and I'm really happy she sang on my little tune there. And you know, we'll see how it goes. In this biz, you got to put the music out there and see how people react, because the whole business has changed. And honestly, one of my original goals of this song is to see if I could get it placed with, you know, Adele or someone like that, because it really is more of an anthemic big song. And we'll see. It could still happen. You never know.
Oh, definitely. Look, you know what? 2014 is all about new beginnings and throwing out the stuffy rule books that we had, because they don't suit us anymore. It's
no,
a whole new ball game. You know,
yeah.
don't even think about it.
Everyone I'm talking to feels like this year is a real year of positive change.
Yes.
You know, sort of burning the old stuff, let it go. It, you know, don't hold on to it, and embrace the new changes, embrace the new challenges, and everyone I know seems really excited right now. So we'll try and keep that going. And by the way, when Adele records this and I'm incredibly rich and famous, I will not forget you. What's your name again?
Same old Pete.
Exactly.
Thanks, Pete.
Oh, anytime.
Yeah.
I got you covered. No worries. I'll still be, you know, that stuff is so fun. I'll still be hanging out, checking in on the show and texting with people and hey, nothing, that stuff never changes.
Well, look, you know what? I know that you're going to do right by all of us once you've made this extra stride into the stratosphere with your new protege. But
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how. I'm sure it's going to go well because honestly, if things don't necessarily go well, we're going to make them well because all of us need the opportunity to not make any excuses anymore for anything that's happened in the past and just do it this year, and that's what we're going to do. So with that,
okay.
I'm going to play you something that I think you'll really enjoy. And if you hadn't called, I was going to play your song from Amplify back-to-back with this. You'll really like this. These two formidable talents in Baltimore and D.C., Sandy Asarvatham and Ellen Cherry, got together and organized a complete orchestra to honor the 40th anniversary of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to play that for you. You're going to hear it. And I'll let you go because I promised some folks in town. This is the thing. Once you say out there in public on Facebook that you're going to play folks from Baltimore and D.C., they're waiting to hear. So I better get my tail in gear before Najee comes along.
Sounds great. Talk to you later, Trish. I'll be listening.
All right, Pete. Thank you so much. And we'll keep plugging the event. It's going to be the Thursday, the 16th.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pete.
Okay, bye.
See you. Bye. Here is Mob Town Moon on Hybrid Jazz. If you haven't heard any of these tracks yet, get ready. Baltimore Magazine named this one of the best efforts of any kind in this year that's just gone by. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
My girl.
Yes, sir.
Tracy Hamlin. Man, we did like a little Baltimore thing back to back to back. I love that. Tracy Hamlin, actually from the Seasons album that was out in 2005, her debut with Najee on flute. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Najee was traveling in the same circles as Pieces of a Dream. Of course, you know that Tracy Hamlin was with Pieces of a Dream for a while. Also on the season CD is James Lloyd. And, of course, you need to know that Tracy Hamlin, first of all, is going to be at Bethesda Blues and Jazz. This is the 1st of February with her guest, Frank McComb. How about that? Yes.
BethesdaBluesJazz.com has the information. You best get your seats. This is one of those situations where folks are going to come from Virginia, D.C., of course, Baltimore, of course, Philadelphia. Some are coming from New York. It's going to be sold out. Tracy may not need to be on this show on the 23rd, but she's coming anyway because we're buddies. She promised. Tracy Hamlin for you right there, and we heard, whew, some good stuff too. Man, all three of those tracks, Warren Wolf from Wolfgang, Things Were Done Yesterday. Warren wrote that song, one of our vibe wunderkinds in the universe. And you might have heard that the great Gary Burton said he was completely smitten with the work that he saw Warren do. They had a chance to spend some time together at the Detroit Jazz Festival, and I'm telling you, it was a love fest from start to finish. It was just a really good pairing when they were playing together, and Warren hasn't forgotten it, hasn't come off the cloud yet. That's Warren on Vibes there, and also Benny Green, Christian McBride. They just did two sellout shows, Christian and Warren, at Andy Music the other day. Lewis Nash on drums. Also, Aaron Goldberg's on this. Chris Fun, whose birthday is coming up. Yay, Chris. Billy Williams Jr., Aaron Deal, and Daryl Tooks on vocals on a track. Warren's got this amazing schedule. He's going to be with Tia Fuller at Caton Castle this weekend. And then he's going to be at Birdland and Lincoln Center. If you go to warrenwolfmusic.com, you will have your mouth open for a couple of minutes. It's like that. We heard Sandy Asarvatham and Ellen Cherry and the amazing crew they assembled for Mobtown Moon to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. Just stellar stuff. And these women have such a vision. Here's how much of a vision they have. Sandy actually has my quote on the Facebook page for Mobtown Moon, and I really meant every word. They just bend genres. They have some jazz, they have some rock, they have some global music, folk. It's just really a cool mix made with absolute love for Pink Floyd. And you need to go to mobtownmoon.com and learn more about Sandy, who did the vocals. Ellen's a superior vocalist, not only in this region, but beyond. Sandy on piano. Ellen's doing her thing with her musical instruments. And everybody was brought together from the Baltimore, D.C. area. It was just so cool, I couldn't even say. So, you know where to go as far as the websites. Would you like to hear some more flute before Najee comes your way at the top of next hour? I thought so. Delandria Mills. First time I've ever gotten a chance to play Delandria. This is so awesome. Got it a little bit late for the holiday season, but it's from Home for the Holidays. Her take on A Child is Born on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you.
got until it's gone, and I found out a little too late. I was acting as if you were lucky to have me, doing you a favor. Takes a lot of getting used to learn to live with it, but I don't want to be without you. It's all a big mistake. Instead of getting any easier, it's the hardest thing to take. I'm addicted to you. You're a heart.
Now, this is the power of music. Daryl F. Walker was able to do something with that song that nobody could have done before him. When Chicago's song, Hard Habit to Break, was out so many years ago, it was such a painful song for me to hear that I could not get through the whole song. I couldn't do it. It was just too much. You know, you have songs like that. They're just too overwhelming. They're just too personal. So here comes Daryl with his Hold Me EP. I heard the song, and all of a sudden, I felt all the emotion of it, but I could listen from start to finish. He is so excellent, soulfully so superior, this amazing singer, saxophonist, and composer. You must go to DarylFWalker.com and learn about him, but buy the EP as well. And folks, if you are in San Diego, please go to support him. He's going to be at 98 Bottles on 118. My friend Kim, my sister wife, the second ex-wife of our ex-husband, please go see Daryl with your friends. We had such a ball over the holidays. Oh, my God, Kim would absolutely love him and have such a crush. San Diego, please go support Daryl F. Walker. Hard habit to break. Oh, we're looking to see if maybe East Bay Soul can book some monumental kinds of endeavors this year. Of course, you know, Daryl is with Greg Adams and the crew, and we're going to see what we can do because tonight is the first meeting of the new board of directors for the Baltimore Jazz Alliance, and yours truly is one of those board members. So maybe we can do some special stuff this year. I would love it. Galandria Mills, Home for the Holidays, the name of the CD, an absolutely magic, beautiful arrangement of A Child Is Born, actually arranged by Nicholas Payton, thank you very much, and written by Thad Jones. And just so you know who's on here, Galandria on her C flute and piccolo, alto and bass flute, Brent Burkhead, I can't even say his name because he's so good looking, he's on tenor sax. Paul Piper on guitar, Janelle Gill, the amazing one, on piano, and Corcoran Holt on bass, and Warren Wolf, again, on drums. Yay! Galandria somehow, someway is going to be on the show very soon. And we're going to do something really special right now. I have never played this track either before, and we'll see how it goes. This was actually part of an album that was done by another saxophone player, Lionel Lyles, some years ago. And this track is most notable because it's my friend Elena Siri, who is a crochet master. She is also a spoken word artist and does poetry. She's a model. She's just beautiful. And I thought this would be an excellent prelude to get to Najee at the top of next hour. This is one of those particular pieces. I am told that when Elena came into the studio, nobody had any clue how it was going to go, and she did this on one take. And I can't think of a more suitable person that needs to have this in front of one of his songs than Najee. Elena Siri, this is part of A Brighter Tomorrow on Hybrid Jazz.
Walked into the nightclub and I took my favorite seat, the second row, off to the right to make sure that I could see. The show was set to start at 8. The crowd was pouring in and conversations seemed to cease the moment he walked in. No introduction needed as he grabbed his saxophone and began to play his melody. into the microphone, I surrendered to his rhythm. And the instant that he played, I surrendered to his rhythm. As I sat before the stage, his tempo was impeccable with every note he played. I found him most intriguing as he stood there on the stage, both hypnotized and mesmerized with each note from his horn. I could tell it was his passion. From the moment he was born, the song he played was sexy, and the notes were crisp and smooth. I surrendered to his rhythm, and my hips began to move in a most seductive motion. As I sat upon my chair, I surrendered to his rhythm. As his tempo filled the air and he approved my slow groove as he continued playing. And when I looked around the room, I could see others swaying. The crowd's approval, for they felt he was the best. And though I heard others play before, I quickly acquiesced. I felt such envy of his horn as he touched every key, for the way that he caressed it made me wish that it was me, much like an aphrodisiac that makes me lose control. I surrendered to his rhythm as it took hold of my soul.
Thank you.
I just had to play that track just so I could tell you how to pronounce it, because I really did have to do a little bit of research to get the correct pronunciation. Champs-Élysées. Oh, man, you could just say that all day and everything would be all right. Najee from The Morning After, A Musical Love Journey. Isn't that nice? And let me tell you something. The whole album, if you want to get a surprise or two underneath your belt, seriously, just when you think that maybe you have some artists figured out, oh, you're wrong. And this is what I love about Najee. He likes to stretch so far. He likes to, and he even said this, I am always evolving. This is so cool because on this particular album, you will hear a number of different kinds of styles. He used to listen to his mom's record collection when he was a little guy, so he would hear the straight-ahead cats from one room to the other. All of that got infiltrated in his little system, and he's walking around the streets of New York and hearing the sounds that are on street corners, hearing the sounds that are coming out of venues. All of that has taken hold. Meanwhile, he's learning his instruments, and he's on flute, he's on tenor sax. His brother kind of twists his arm and maybe thinks about soprano sax, which he did. Thank you, brother. And here he is. I mean, I could wax poetic about this artist all day just because I think that in the past few years, there's been a whole new appreciation of Najee. Got a chance to meet this gentleman a few years ago when he graciously consented as part of WSMJ's public relations and getting these jazz artists into different kinds of wild and weird venues. He came to Borders in Timonium, Maryland, and he just thrilled people so much. This is what he does consistently. Saxophonist, flautist, gold and platinum selling artist, internationally known, and deserves every kind of accolade there is. Ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome Najee. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, Trish. How are you doing?
I am so good.
Good. It's good to hear you.
Good to hear you. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Three people want to say hello to you right off the bat. Is that okay with you?
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Gerald Veasley, Tracy Hamlin, and Daoud Saeed.
Oh, my God. All my friends. Hey, guys. How you doing? You know, I can honestly say I've worked with each and every one of them, thank goodness, you know.
I know you have, and we just played Tracy from Seasons a little while ago. We played Sundown, and you're on flute on that track. She has nothing but absolute love in her heart for you.
Oh, well, same here, absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Before she got married, I wanted her to marry my brother, but you know, she went and found a husband, so that never happened, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. You know what? Najee, I know she's listening. She is falling down when she
But, you know, I'm happy she moved on with someone good. That's great, you know.
Now, look, did your brother know that you had this in mind?
No, not really. You know, I was picking out somebody for him, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Well, you know, she's going to be coming to one of these venues that's really getting some impact, Bethesda Blues and Jazz, in the beginning of February. So if she doesn't know that before, I'll tell her, and she will turn all kinds of beat red.
All right. Absolutely. Good.
Well, you know what? Let me just jump into this because, Najee, I love The Morning After, A Musical Love Journey so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Really appreciate the support on it.
Oh, and you are getting support on it, and I'm not sure how much feedback that you're getting about the specifics, but I love it because you are very forthcoming in saying that you are always evolving. And it just seems like this is such a very personal journey from the places that you've gone to those walks that you used to take when you were in New York growing up. It just seems like you're getting to be more and more Najee, opening up like a flower. Do you feel like this is a free being now?
Well, you know, I think over the years, you get tired of doing the things that you constantly do all the time. And for a few years, I have to admit that I was afraid to really expand, you know. You get
really
kind of caught into a loop. Well, you know, in the commercial setting, you kind of get caught into a loop of meeting the expectations of the commercial industry with record companies and things. And, you know, they want to hear something that has sold in the past, basically. But, you know, as time went on, I'm beginning to become more comfortable with my true identity as a musician.
Yes.
And share that with people and not be afraid of whatever happens, you know. And I'm seeing, at least on this record, because we did do a little bit of straight ahead and, you know, we took some chances on things. And I'm seeing the response to be overwhelming and wonderful, you know. So obviously this will be the direction I'm going from here on out the rest of my career, hopefully. So.
You know what? That just tickles me so much because I feel your passion come through. I was listening to West 72 and Broadway, and I was listening
yes.
to Shinjuku, and I know you and I share a deep and abiding love for George Duke, truly.
Yes, yes, as most people in the...
Yeah. Oops. His call dropped. It's okay. You know what? I just mentioned that, and I know that he'll call back. Sometimes that happens when calls drop. But can we do this three-minute track with George Duke here? Let's do it on Hybrid Jazz. Najee will be back in a minute or two.
Thank you.
sorts of delicious kinds of love songs on this album, The Morning After, and that is another one. Woo, Najee, I love that song so much. Woo.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, that as you know, was we dedicated that to George. It reminded
yes.
me of our times we spent over in Asia together. You know, we always stay in, when we were in Tokyo, we would stay in this area called Shinjuku, so we just titled it after that, you know.
It's so wonderful. You talked a little bit in a couple of different places about the kind of deep love that you had for George, and I did not spend as much time with him as you did because, you know, once you're on the road and you're having that quality time with someone, even more so than some family members, because there's no escape. You have to work with the people that you're on the road with.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me
yeah.
what that was like, Najee. I mean, because I know that he is possibly one of the more beloved figures that we ever had in music. What was it like to have that kind of friendship with him? He was constantly generous, wasn't he?
Absolutely. You know, I at times I recall pinching myself because, you know, as a kid growing up, you listen to people like George Duke, you know, I mean, all the way back to the Frank Zappa days, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, his stint with Cannonball Adderley and Miles Davis and all these great artists. And, you know, I'd be hanging out with him and, you know, joking around, having fun. And, you know, I'm like, man, you know, how'd you get here? You know, that kind of thing. But,
right.
you know, I mean, on a personal level, I have to say I owe George a lot because, you know, from the time he produced my he actually produced two albums for me. One was Just an Illusion, one song I did with Jeffrey Osborne, and the
yeah.
Songs from the Key of Life CD. And we became friends, and he was the one that actually began my association with Quincy Jones. I had visited Montreux Jazz Festival a few times playing with Quincy over there, and it was because of George's introduction to Quincy that all began, you know. So I owe George a lot on so many levels, as many people do, you know. So,
well, you know, here's the thing about you, and one thing that I have come to learn about George and had a chance to spend some real head-to-head time after a concert last year, and it was before any of us knew that he was ill. George really didn't necessarily spend time with you unless he knew that your work ethic was solid. So he knew that about you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you started so early. I was, you know, doing the research for you, and one of the things that really stuck out was you must have had a lot of people look at you at a very young age. You were part of Dr. Billy Taylor's program in your youth.
I was.
That's a big deal, isn't it?
Well, you know, I didn't realize it then. I mean, it kind of happened. You probably have heard this story, but I went to high school for aviation to become a pilot. That was my first love, you know, flying.
That's amazing.
And the same high school that Russell Simmons went to, we were actually classmates. And,
oh, there you go.
Yeah, so, you know, we're right there in New York City in Queens, and I just happened to be in the music program, and for whatever reasons, opportunities just always came where I stood out. And we had one concert where Billy Taylor came with the legendary Frank West on alto saxophone and performed the concert at the school, and then the music students, who were the leading music students, which included myself and others, were invited to join Jazzmobile. And it was there that I really began serious study of jazz in a serious way because, you know, I had the pleasure of studying with Ernie Wilkins, Jimmy Heath, Frank Foster, Frank West, and Billy Taylor was over the whole program. And this was a federally funded program back there for inner city kids to study with these great legendary masters for like $5 a year, you know.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And, I mean, you know, that was really, in hindsight, I can't even begin to tell you how much of an impact in terms of setting a direction or at least expanding my interpret or my vision of how music is, you know. And not being, you know, I know the industry in some ways in the past has said, well, he's just this guy, he's a smooth jazz guy. But honestly, you know, I made a conscious decision when my career started to be in that world that way, but you know, I never forgot my roots or never allowed myself to become stagnant as a musician in terms of my knowledge and expanding that, you know, as best I can. So.
I know. And Najee, I just can't say it enough. I'm so tickled to hear you say that. And we were thinking about you. There was a discussion recently at a church where my son and I were attending. And the great music director of this church was lamenting to me that he loved jazz, but he really couldn't play it with the kind of authority that he wanted. I say that so that you can know this. See, you got all of that music assimilated in you at a young age. You heard those records in your home, and then you went out and you heard all of that, all of what New York City had to offer, and then you went to the New England Conservatory, and you got some training. So you have to be all of who that is in order to be authentic. And this is why The Morning After sticks out, because it is one of the more authentic pieces of work I've heard in 2013, honest
well,
to God.
Thank you so much. I got to be honest with you, Trisha. You know, when I'm doing these things, I don't sit and think about this stuff. I was just fortunate to get with some good guys in the studio, and four of us, all of us went in, and we... You know, in 4 days, we cut the whole record, and we just had a great time doing it. We didn't go for perfection. We just went for playing. You know, even most of my saxophone tracks are one take. You know, we just kept that thing. I never went back, you know. So
wow.
Yeah, it was just because it was a spirit of just having fun with who you were with at the time. And this is what we came up with. And I'm just grateful that people like yourself are hearing it and feeling it the way it is, you know. So.
Well, it's so exciting because I know that you're looking forward to 2014, and I know that you're going to be doing some tour dates. One of them is the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia. Yay!
We're coming back there. We love playing there. We love it.
Yeah, you know, it's a cool venue because it's like playing an intimate venue, but there's a lot of seats.
There's a lot of seats. You know, the stage is big, so you can go, and the sound system is incredible. And
yes.
We always have a blast there. I just love playing to the audience there. And it was actually there that I got my education as to what to call the area, because I was calling it D.C. for the longest. And then people were like, it's called DMV, DMV. They started yelling at me. I was like, okay, I got it now. So I will never make that mistake again.
Yeah, it's different when you go to Blues Alley. And, you know, you have to be careful with this new club now, Bethesda Blues and Jazz, because I always say it's in the shadow of D.C. Bethesda's like a little Washington, D.C., but you never want to come in there and say, hey, D.C., oh, it ain't
that's
that.
Right. You're absolutely right. I learned my lesson hard. Somebody checked me real hard on that one.
And don't we check you around here? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, fortunately, you know, I'm from New York, so I get it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, there's a whole lot of things to say, and I don't want to keep you too long because I promised your staffers that I wouldn't, you know, wear out my welcome as far as you're
concerned.
Oh, you
know what? It's no problem. I'm here for you. You know, I'm in no rush to do anything today. I'm good, you know, so.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, look, we might wait until Blog Talk Radio kicks me out at 4 o'clock then.
Okay.
That's awesome. Well, tell us this. 1986 was the pivotal year because Najee's theme came out, and you attracted some attention, including the attention of Freddie Jackson. And God knows you attracted Chaka Khan before that and Prince afterwards. What is one of those circumstances through this amazing career that you've had that you tend to think about and go back to and go, wow, how did that happen?
Well, you know, I mean, I can point to several, but, you know, I mean, my brother and I, we were just kids from New York just trying to figure out how to get in the game, and we decided that the educational route might have been the way to go, but before that, we were already at the age of 17, 18 years old, touring musicians. I mean, by the time we went to college, we had already been to Europe, we had been to Iceland, we had been to certain parts of South America performing with groups for the USO. And so
crazy.
We get to college into
wow.
this conservatory environment, and now we have to We're confronted with a whole different culture of how to look at things. And then, but the problem was we had no way to pay for this institution. I mean, we struggled through our college years with great struggle and difficulty in trying to meet the bill, you know. So, I mean, I did everything from be a security guard to driving cab for a short time, you know. And at one point, I even sold my instruments, just gave up music altogether, you know, thinking that maybe I'd go in the banking industry, you know. And it wasn't for a friend of mine giving me a saxophone and pulling me in on some of the general business gigs in Massachusetts, bar mitzvahs and things like that, I probably would have given up, you know, at that point. But he called me for these gigs, and I began making more money. And then I was like, well, maybe I don't need to do this banking thing after all, you know. So the point of the matter is, you know, I can point to probably several humbling experiences that when 1986 came and that album came out, I really did not expect the tremendous amount of success the reception that it got, because I will tell you a very funny story quickly. I recall going to Capitol Records. They called me up and they say, well, Capitol EMI at the time, they said, we have a gold record for you. And me being so naive, I thought, well, because I'm on Capitol, I thought, you know, well, you know, Sinatra, you know, Freddie Jackson, Nat King Cole, anytime you go in the offices, you see gold records of these people. So I'm just on the label now, so they give you a gold record. I had no idea that that actually meant you were selling, you know, and that you had a career.
Oh, bless your heart. Oh, my gosh.
It's a true story, you know. So I guess it took me a while to understand, you know, that this was a real career that I had now as a result of Najee's theme success and the other albums that came after. So,
an amazing company along the way. I mean, you mentioned Quincy and Billy Cobham and Stanley Clark and Larry Carlton, and we mentioned Chaka and Prince. I mean, you just have to say one word, and people will understand the context of how your career. It's just one of those organic journeys to me. It amassed. Mm-hmm. And amassed and amassed. It's like this fluid forward motion. Every time you made a step from 86 and then Share My World in 94 and Songs from the Key of Life with Stevie Wonder, again with George Duke's help, it just seemed like you got this reputation. You really do have a wonderful reputation, and isn't that a blessing?
It really is. I don't take it for granted. Because I'm always reminded in some way or another how things could, the alternative life could have been mine, you know. So
yeah,
I'm very grateful and just thankful that people have responded and they've allowed me to be in the game this long, you know, as a solo artist. So
although Najee, I have to say you would be very handsome in that aviation gear. I have to say.
Yeah, you know I. You know, I had a quick career change once I knew I could play a tenor sax solo and the girls knew my name in high school. That was it for me, you know.
And, you know, speaking of which, is it what was it about Fareed that persuaded you to change from tenor to soprano? I'm interested in that.
Well, you know, he's a guitar player.
Yeah.
And he would write. He loved writing on acoustic guitar particularly. And he loved the way soprano, the voice, sounded with the instrument when he played guitar, acoustic guitar. And I'll never forget one Hallmark day, we had a little bit of an argument. And he was like, man, you need to play soprano on this. I'm like, I ain't playing soprano, that little horn, I'm not playing that thing. You know, I'm a tenor player. You know, that's what I do. Well, lo and behold, you know, that would be the voice that would make me famous, you know. And honestly, you know, I have to say, when I first played on my first album, I'll never recall, you know, here I have this opportunity to do this record, and I walk into a music store, I purchase a soprano saxophone for $800 and, you know, didn't play very well in tune or anything, and I go right in the studio and record Najee's Theme, not knowing it would have become such a major record in the industry. You know?
Whoa.
So, true. That's how it happened.
Because,
honestly, the music I was recording, tenor was just not the voice. You know, it just wasn't for this stuff, you know, so.
Now, you know that possibly John Coltrane had this argument with Miles Davis because Miles had purchased a soprano sax for John in Europe and brought it back to him, and I guess John looked at him like he was made out of green cheese or something.
Interesting.
But,
yeah.
You know, that year, Coltrane left Miles Davis and branched out on his own. So there's something about that soprano sax. I don't know what it is. But
I try to figure it out, I guess, you know.
No, so. Don't. It's like falling in love. You don't want to know the circumstances. You just want to know that you are.
There you go. Very true.
Well, here is a song from The Morning After. We have to play it while you're with us because you have to tell us the story of it. Because it's sort of a story project, start to finish, where you have a little conversation with this beautiful woman, and she's running late, and then the album progresses. But you have a song here, In the Mood to Take It Slow. You want to explain that, Najee?
Well, you know, the lovely and talented Miss Melissa Morgan is on that song.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Melissa and I go back. We started in Shaka's band together on the Ain't Nobody tour. That's where we first met and worked together, and my brother was playing guitar in the band.
Mercy.
And she recorded her first album on Capitol. I played on a song called Do You Still Love Me, and I actually got signed as a result of playing on that song with her. Well, fast forward years later, you know, throughout the years we've done concert dates together, and most recently is in 2013. I said, listen, I'm going to send you a song. I hope you like it, you know, but if you like it, I would love for you to join me on it. And she came in, she came out to L.A., and then just the track speaks for itself. She did such a great job.
Oh, my God. It sounded so spontaneous. It sounded hot. It sounded like in the moment completely. And,
yes.
Man, whew, if folks have not heard this track, get ready. It's from The Morning After, A Musical Love Journey, Najee and Melissa Morgan on Hybrid Jazz. Whew.
Let me like it.
Najee, I hope you don't mind. I had to pass the cold compresses around in the chat room, if that's okay by you.
Oh, you're funny. You're hilarious.
Lord, have mercy. That is something else. You, and you know, you probably are going to get sick of this because you're hearing some of these tracks back now, but what are your thoughts now since Morning After was released, what, October 22nd or so? Now that you're hearing it back and you're getting feedback, is it one of those situations where you go, ooh, this is a whole lot better than I thought it was originally?
You've
got to think that.
Well, I don't know. You know, when you listen back, as an artist, you always think of things you should have done. Maybe you should have gone back and redid that track or whatever, but honestly, I think I've achieved, what was intended, which was really just a nice energy that, you know, was on the spur of the moment and just doing what we were caught in at the moment, you know, and just
in the moment,
you know,
is important to you.
Yeah, in the moment, that's pretty much it, you know. But you know, as an artist, you're never satisfied. We're just greedy like that, you know.
Yes, I've noticed that.
I've never met an artist who hasn't thought or listened to themselves and said, you know, maybe I'll do this or that. I'll never forget this conversation I had with Marcus Miller once. And we were in the studio and we were talking, blah, 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 and he was telling me about a session he had with David Sanborn. And he said, man, he was pissing me off, man, because every time we get into the track, he stopped and start changing reeds, and then he want to change horns and blah, 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 blah. I was like, really, David Sanborn? He's like, yeah, man, I was just getting a little upset with him over this, you know.
Mm.
I was saying it in a loving way, but I'm taking it to heart, you know, because for me it's like, okay, so I guess I'm not the only one that gets anal on these things, you know.
Yeah. And that's the word you want to use for it.
Yeah, exactly, you know. Well,
but
we just get a little tripped out. But my brother Fareed, he always checks me hard. He's like, listen, man, that's it. I'm not recording nothing. That's it. I'm done with you, you know. And you know,
well,
George
see,
Duke, he would let you just play, you know, about 1,000 tracks, and then he'll pick whatever he wants out of it, you know. So everybody has a different thing going.
And see, George, he would say, this is what I heard from a few people, he would say to you the day before, hey, look, everybody, learn what you got to learn. We'll pop in here tomorrow and do this, okay?
Right.
So he just
there
assumed you would do your homework, and that was it.
That's right. That's right. That is exactly
so,
right.
And you are, here's why you appeal. Gosh, I hope I don't embarrass you, but I'll just say it anyway. There are so many women in the Baltimore, D.C. area who love you. And here is why, yeah. You have this particular cool demeanor. It's not like you're jumping up and down on the stage. You're clearly having a good time. But you just lay back and let the music soar. You have this soaring way of bringing joy into existence out of silence. You do.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Can I write that down? I need to.
You,
I don't think I've ever heard it put like that. Why? Wow.
You can.
You're very kind.
It's just a magnanimous connectivity that you have to people, and especially I'm thinking that women, I mean, you're certainly a guy's guy in a lot of different ways, but women see that figure on this stage who's putting heart and soul into the instrument and doesn't have to do the touchdown thing when he scores a goal. You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay. Well, it's interesting how other people see you. You know me, I'm just trying to worry if my reed is playing well, you know, or if I'm in tune, you know, because sometimes I can't tell on stage, you know.
Oh, wow.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's just a whole lot to say because each decade
thank
that you
so
you've been.
Much.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, my gosh. I'm really having a better time than I ever could have thought because, honestly, Najee, we were playing you a lot on WSMJ when that station was kicking a few years ago. But sometimes when you play an artist on the radio And aren't we glad to have had that experience, and hopefully we'll have that experience a whole lot more in 2014 when people understand that we need to have commercial jazz radio that's 24 hours a day. Please,
oh, yeah.
God, please make that happen.
We absolutely do.
Oh, we do. But to play you as an artist and then to have seen you in person, sometimes it just pops so much that it's beautiful what you're able to do with flute and saxophone. But I have to say to people who are listening either live or in the archives, go see Najee when he is doing his live thing, because it's almost like there is some kind of heavenly guidance there. You come out of that show going, what just happened?
Wow.
What just happened?
Well, thank you.
You're
well,
welcome.
You know, I've always believed that, you know, music is more than just playing some notes, you know. I mean, I've heard a lot of great players play notes, but you may not stay with them. So we try to make the show as interesting as we can, you know, and engage the people, you know. And that's very important. Because, you know, unfortunately, when you have a horn in your hand, you can't go dancing around and jumping off the stage, you know.
Some people do that.
I gotta be honest with you. One night, Prince tried to get me to go there, and I was like, I'm not jumping out there. He's like, no, man, go ahead, jump. They'll catch you. I'm like, I'm not doing it, you know.
Oh,
we went back and forth
right
on stage on this thing, you know. And,
well, look.
But that's just not my character, you know. So.
No. And look, yeah. Truth be told, he's like 4'11", so it was okay
right.
for him.
Yeah, maybe he jump out there, they'll catch him and do the wave. Maybe they'll just
right.
let him fall on the ground. You know, I'm not going.
Not that much to catch when it comes to Prince. But, and it's
yeah.
not your style, that's right. And here's something cool. I wanted to point this out to folks who are in the area. I noticed that you're going to play later on this month at the Tubman Museum, the Tubman African American Museum in Macon, Georgia. And
yes.
That's significant. My friend Joy Hall and I used to do Cool Jazz Conversations, and Joy works for the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of African American History. And I love these museums because it should be mandatory touring for little kids from all areas to see what history is really like. So
yes.
what will that experience be like for you? Is it a bigger venue? Is it a smaller one? How's that going to work?
Oh, you know, I don't know much about the venue. Someone who lives in the area told me that it's a new venue and that they have some really
cool.
nice concerts there. Yeah, so, and that it's a very nice venue. So we're looking forward to it. I haven't played Macon. I can't remember the last time I played there. You know, we get
How
to Atlanta
that?
And other places. But, yeah, so I think it'll be a real treat to come through that market and to be in such a historical place. And honestly, it'll be my first concert date of 2014. So, you know, they
That's
get to get us fresh.
So cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Do you chomp at the bit when you take some time off? It's like, oh, God, I'm going to go crazy if I don't get on the road soon.
You know what? A friend of mine said had this word. She called it staycation, you know. So
yes.
I have vacation at home. I go home and just, you know, because, you know, I'm fortunate. I travel a lot. But, you know, coming home is like just, you know, I mean, I let my beard grow. I mean, I'm looking like Wolfman Jackie. I got an afro right now, you know. I
Yay.
Mean, I'm glad we didn't do a Skype thing, Trish, because you'd see, like, that's not Najee. No way. I mean, look at him. He's got an afro. He's got his beard looking like, you know.
Wow. Oh, that
yeah,
visual is going to stay.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's so hilarious. Well, you know, I know about Scholars. That's coming up in, actually, on my son's 22nd birthday on the 4th of April.
Oh,
Scholars
okay.
in Boston. And then you're going
right,
to be
yeah.
at the Birchmere. So where else are you going to be? Can you say, or is
yeah,
it one
we,
of those
we
things?
Actually, we have the Jamaica Jazz and Blues Festival coming up the end of, I believe it's the 31st of January. I'm not sure if it's on my website yet, but
wow,
that's coming up. Yeah. So we just got added to that actually this week. So we'll be at that on January 31st there at the Jazz and Blues Festival in Jamaica. And then March 8th, I found out today, we're in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm not sure of the venue on that one, but
Awesome.
So, and, you know, but if you really want to follow me, you can follow me at Contact Najee at Twitter, you know, Contact Najee, or Instagram, Contact Najee. My website, NajeeMusic.com. And on Facebook, you can Google me. It's Najee, the official page. So.
And aren't you the Twitterer, whatever you call it? You really do tweet, and I appreciate that because, you know, some people are more well-versed in this than others, but honestly, I don't know how you feel about this, but it really has to work all together, as you just mentioned, the tweeting,
yes,
the Facebook, and the business card, which is your website, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in a different time now. You know, I was blessed when my career started to be in the big machine, you know, the Capitol, EMI, all the big blah, blah, blah. But now, I mean, those days have changed. You know, there's no outlet for artists. I feel bad for some of the artists that are coming up, some of the talented, gifted young players that are coming up. And when I was coming up, I didn't realize how blessed I was to be able to have videos on VH1 and BET and MTV in Europe and Japan. And, you know, but thank God there's outlets like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. All these outlets are now available for people who don't have the support of the big machine, you know.
That's true.
And so I'm capitalizing on it just like everybody else, you know. It's a vehicle that can work well for you and, you know, cost you little or no money, you know. So
that's true. Yeah. And,
yes.
You know, it's really frustrating when there are some artists of note, or more importantly, artists who are trying to get a foothold. When you see them on Facebook, they've actually asked me, and I'm not the expert on this, but I have said to a few people, look, you know, it's not that people, you can't assume that people will go to your website. You have to sort of leave rose petals to make a trail to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, you're right.
Keep abreast of what's happening on Facebook, and if you can, and I know that one of the first people I saw do this was Kirk Whalum. This has gone back a couple of years ago. He would have his website on his front page of Facebook.
Yeah,
if people have to hunt and peck for you, we are living in ADD, ADHD times. And you know what?
True.
Somebody is going to see a shiny thing and go after the shiny thing that somebody else is dangling in front of them. So
that is very true. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, man, we could tell stories about that. Well, here's the thing. Tonight, I'm going to have my first meeting. I'm one of the new board of director members at the Baltimore Jazz Alliance, Najee.
Oh, how nice.
It is
nice.
Congratulations. So, thank you. This will be very cool because the folks who are there want to get ideas as to how we can grow Baltimore jazz and environs, you know, Virginia, D.C., in the Mid-Atlantic region. So, if you were there, what would you say?
Well, I think, honestly, that's a good question. I got to think about that. But I think I would tap into, you know, some of the upcoming artists as well as some of the established artists. One of the things I think the problem the smooth jazz industry is suffering from is, and I'm not taking anything away from the artists that are, you know, in rotation all the time, but unfortunately it's almost the same run of people all the time, you know.
You think?
And there's a I think that, you know, having a little more diversity in terms of bringing in some of the talent that we're hearing on the radio but people are not able to see. I mean, like, you know, you have people like Elon Trautman, you know, great saxophonist, you know, Marcus Anderson and others, you know, that are out there. Along with quite a few people, but a lot of these festivals, I think they get kind of caught into the same rotation of people. And, you know, ultimately what happens is, you know, sales are affected, attendance is affected because people say, well, I've already seen that act at least 3-4 times over the last 10 years, you know, I mean.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I think, honestly, you got to keep an open mind to a lot of the possibilities out there. Of course, in the DMV, you have a tremendous amount of talent right
there.
Oh, my
God, yes.
You know, being able to feature some of the people that are right there in that area is great, you know. So,
and actually,
that's pretty much what I would say, you know.
And to embellish on what you are as opposed to what you said, there needs to be a whole lot of talk about how we can blend the straight-ahead cats with the contemporary folks and make sure that people get a mix of jazz. All that jazz is should be in front of our faces. Nobody has...
You know,
I
love that. Love that. Yes,
well,
absolutely.
You know, we get so narrow-minded in this country, you know this, about jazz, but you've traveled all over the world, and you have seen people play in South Africa, you've seen people play in Paris, you've seen people that have a Brazilian notion of what jazz is. All of that is important because we want to save the genre, don't we? I mean, that's
absolutely. It. Absolutely. You know, I tend to believe that the genre is always going to live. It's going to outlive, you know, corporate decisions, you know. So I think, but, you know, it can use some help, you know, and I think there has to be a dedication to opening up, you know, not being afraid of a change direction, you know, a different direction than where it's been, you know. So you're right, but I love the idea of the diversity, bringing in other artists who are doing a lot of great things now, you know.
Well, Najee, that's why I want a hybrid jazz radio station on terrestrial radio in
all
some
right.
city. Whatever city's going to ask for it first, we'll be there.
All right. There you go.
There you go. And thank you so much for spending the time. I wanted to close out with playing a song that I think is important to you about your journey to Africa. You want to say a little bit about this?
Oh, well, this is a song called Mafalala. When we were in Mozambique recently, well, actually, it's been over a year now, there's a friend of mine, a saxophonist from Mozambique. He lives in Cape Town, named Morera Chongisa. And he was with us on the bill when we performed there, but he took us on a tour of this area right inside of Maputo, which is the big city. There's a township called Mafalala. And when you go there, you know, it's a township, just like many townships in South Africa, where, you know, you won't have any of the creature comforts or even the basics, like running water and electricity in a lot of the homes, in the dirt roads. But I was very impressed with the people and their kindness and, you know, their spirit of just, you know, the children. You know, they didn't have all the PlayStations and MTV and all that stuff that we're used to here. And, you know, we came up with this little idea, this little song, and we called it, you know, in honor of the township that we visited there.
I love it. It's and I love it because it is full of love. I can feel it. And that's the most important thing about music, actually, isn't it? That you can feel
it.
Yes,
absolutely. That's right.
Well, Najee, thank you so much.
Thank you, Trish.
Tickled that you had the time. And for sure, we're going to see you in Alexandria, Virginia, and by God, don't you get the name of that city wrong that night.
No, I promise you I won't. I promise you.
Well, listen, enjoy your beard and enjoy your extended growth of hair. It's going to end soon.
Thank you. I think I'll pull out my old Afro pick here and start styling it up a little bit, you know. You'll see a new Najee, you know.
I love it. Oh, man, I'd be so ready for that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bless your heart. Have a wonderful day, and let's make this 2014 really roll, shall we?
We shall. Thank you, Trish, and I'll see you hopefully in April. Okay.
You will. All right. Bye, Najee.
Be well. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. This is Mafalala, The Morning After, a Musical Love Journey. You are going to love this. Enjoy. Is going back to his roots.
Oh, yes, sir. And I'm talking about jazz, the kind of jazz that he used to hear back in the day.
He's letting it all come out, ladies and gentlemen. I am so thrilled. Najee. Whew. One of those exquisite songs from the morning after, A Musical Love Journey, where you are bound to hear the straight ahead, the contemporary, the upbeat, the downbeat, the places he's been, the places where he lived, the places that he wants to go. Amazing. Here's a gentleman who used to work for Najee, Daoud Saeed, with the outro music for you. And look, it must be saxophone week. I don't know. On Thursday, it's Tony Exum Jr. with us, and that's going to be a real treat. Tony and I have bonded. I love this. So it looks like January will be a much more interesting week than anyone could have possibly bargained for. I love it. Let me take a deep breath. Man, that was fun. Thank you so much to Felix Langford, who popped in, Matt Williams, Griselda, my sister friend, BJ, all the guests that have come back and forth, Pete Gitlin, who spent some time with us, and all I can say is, woo! I got a roll. Tonight is the Board of Directors meeting at the Baltimore Jazz Alliance. Very exciting stuff. We'll see you Thursday. Be safe in this cold weather on Hybrid Jazz. Woo!